In this three-part speech, I'm going to be explaining a special series of dohas revealed by Kripaluji Maharaj. Sri Maharaji wrote this, which he calls Kripalu Trayodashi. It's 13 couplets in which he summarizes his whole philosophy, which of course is the essence of our Sanskrit scriptures. He said so that in the future, people could just refer back to this and know exactly what were the basic points which he taught. So we're going to split Kripalu Trayodashi into three parts, and although 13 couplets doesn't sound like very much, it's actually a lot to cover even in three speeches. So we'll be moving fairly quickly, and I'll just be touching on the basic points as we go. So we'll sing the couplets, and I'll explain as we go. Radhe, Radhe, Govinda, Govinda, Radhe, 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 Govinda, Govinda, Radhe. Kripaluji Maharaj begins every pravachan with this point, that there are three eternal existences called tattva. A tattva means an essential existence beyond which you can't break it down anymore. So those three are Brahma, Jeev, Maya, God, the souls, and Maya. Ajamekam lohita shukla krishnam bahvi praja srijamanam sarupa ajo hyeko jushmano nushete jahatye nam bhukta bhogam ajonya. Shvetashvatropanishad says the very same thing. Using the words aj and aja. Aj means unborn. So here Maharaji used the word anadi. No beginning. So God had no beginning, the souls had no beginning, and Maya had no beginning. And Sri Maharaji says they are anant, which means no end. They will never cease to exist. Gita says, na sato vidyate bhavo, na bhavo vidyate satah. If something exists, it can never cease to exist. And if something doesn't exist, it can never come into being. So even God didn't make souls out of nothing, and He didn't make Maya out of nothing. In fact, He never created a single soul, and He never created Maya. Whatever souls exist today have existed forever, anadi. And they will continue to exist forever, anant. God never makes new souls, and no soul can ever be destroyed. And Maya is also eternal. So God never made Maya. These three tattva, among the three, none created any of the others. So God didn't create the souls or Maya. The souls didn't create Maya or God. And Maya didn't create the souls or God, because all three have been here forever. God is supreme and one. Souls are unlimited in number and infinitesimal in size, spot existent. And Maya is God's power as well, and exists since eternity. Maya is the source of this whole universe. If you break this universe down into more and more and more subtle parts, more subtle than atoms, electrons, or any subparticle which has ever been discovered, if you keep breaking it down, when you arrive to the point beyond which you can't go any further, that's Maya. So Maya is one tattva, Jeev, the souls, is a second tattva, and God, of course, is the third tattva. Now in the second verse, Sri Maharaji says, Brahma Jeev Chetan Govindaradhe, Brahma Shakti Jeev Yate Anshabatade. So out of these three, Brahma, Jeev, Maya, Brahma and Jeev are Chetan. Brahm meaning God, and Jeev meaning the souls, they are both Chetan. That means they're alive. So if we wanted to have a competition with God, we could compete with Him, now we've seen, in two areas, and in fact only these two areas. There's no other area where we could compete with Him. One is age. Amritasya vai putraha. Although Vedas say all the souls are the children of God, yet bahut vichitra sambandh hai. It's a very interesting relationship, because in this case the children are the same age as the parent. And were not made by the parent. As I said, God did not make us, we've existed for as long as He has. And even though He's our father, she's our mother, yet we're the same age. So in terms of age, we could compete with God. He is not older than we are, we're the same. And in terms of this fact that He is Chetan, meaning He's a live, sentient being, and so are we. We are also Chetan. The second half of this line says that Jeev is Brahma Shakti. We are a power of God. Yate Anshabatade. Because of this, we are said to be Ansh of God. Now, if you translate this word Ansh into English, it means a part of, or a piece of, or a fraction of. So hearing this word ansh might sound confusing. Ved says, Chinmatram Shri Hare Ransham सूक्ष्ममक्षरमव्ययम् कृष्णाधीनमिति प्राहुर् जीवं ज्ञानगुणाश्रयम्. Souls are Ansh of God. Gita says the same thing. Mamaivansho jivaloke jivabhuta sanatana. Krishna says, all the souls are eternally my Ansh. Ansho nana vyapadeshat Brahma Sutra. The Vedanta says, souls are uncountable in number. And they are all Ansh of God. Ishvara Ansh Jiva Avinashi Chetan Amal Sahaj Sukharasi. Ramayana also says that souls are eternally Ansh of God. So the first question comes, can God be broken into pieces? Is that all God is just a collection of all the souls in existence? Each one is Ansh of God. So if you collected all the souls in one place, this soul plus this soul plus this soul, all the uncountable souls put together equals God. Ved says no. Purnasya purnamadaya purnamevavashishyate. God is always purn. He's whole and complete. He cannot be made into pieces. You can't have one quarter Bhagwan, 1/8 Bhagwan, 1/16 Bhagwan. Bhagwan is always 100% purn. One thing. And the second thing, if we were actually a piece of God, like sometimes we use the analogy, soul is Ansh of God, just like a drop of water is Ansh of the ocean. But this analogy is only partly correct, because a drop of water has the same gunas. A drop of the ocean has the same guna, all the same qualities and characteristics that the whole entire ocean has. So if we are actually a direct part of God, we should have all the same characteristics He has. In other words, we should be all-powerful, all-knowing, omnipresent. We have none of these qualities which are attributed to God. So we can't be said to be a direct part of God or a piece of God for these two reasons. Number one, God cannot be broken into pieces. Number two, we don't have the qualities that would qualify us to be called God. And number three, if every soul was a piece of God, and that meant each soul had all the qualities of God, it would mean there would be uncountable gods in existence. But actually, there's only one single God. So then we come back to our question, why are we said to be Ansh of Bhagwan? And here Sri Maharaj-ji gives the answer, Brahma Shakti Jiva Yate Ansha Batade. Souls are a power of God, a Shakti of God. So this word Ansh actually is indicating this, that we are a power of God. So you can say Jiva Tattva or Jiva Shakti. What is Jiva Shakti? Take all the uncountable souls in existence, add them together, that is Jiva Shakti. Like every soul is a grain of rice. Make all those grains of rice into a huge pile, that is Jiva Shakti. And each one of us is one of those grains of rice. Each one of us is one soul out of uncountable souls which make up God's Jiva Shakti. That is why we are called His Ansh. It's more correct or more complete to say Jiva Shakti Vishishtasyaiva Tava Jivonshaha Natu Shuddhasya. Jiva Goswami says in his Shat Sandharva that souls are an affiliated power of God. That is why they are called His Ansh. But we are not a direct Ansh of God, like a piece broken off of Him. We're not His direct Ansh. We're Ansh of His Jeev Shakti. And that is why we are called Ansh. So all of this has been explained in these first two dohas.
Brahma Jeeva Chetana Govinda Radhe Brahma Shakti Jeeva Yate Ansh Batade Jeevayate Ansh Batade
Brahma Shakti Jeevayate Ansh Batade
Brahma Shakti Maya Jada Shasak Brahma Batade
Brahma Shakti Maya Jad Govinda Radhe Jeev Maya Shasak
In the last doha, Sri Maharaji described Jeev Shakti. In this doha, he's describing Maya Shakti. That aside from Jeev Shakti, God has another power called Maya Shakti. So in the first doha, Sri Maharaji referred to three tattva. Now he's describing three shakti, three powers. It's the same thing, just different terminology. So he started by saying Brahma, Jeev, Maya, Tattva. Then he described Jeev Shakti. Now he's going to describe Maya Shakti. And in the next doha, he describes Swarup Shakti or Parashakti, God's personal power. So Maya Shakti is different from Jeev Shakti in this way that Maya Shakti is Jada. It is non-living. This mayic energy we see around us does not have a mind or life. It's an inert, lifeless, mindless energy. Just a physical energy. The energy of the world. The only things that are actually alive in this world are those beings with a soul. Those organisms with a soul are alive, grow, reproduce, die, then those souls get reborn in another life form, or the same life form but with a different body. But Maya itself is just an energy. It is called Jada. This is why in the Gita, when Krishna refers to these two powers, Jeev Shakti and Maya Shakti, he says this,
Bhumirapo nalo vayu kham mano buddhirevacha ahankar iti yamme bhinna prakriti rashtadha jeeva bhuta mahabaho apareyamitastvanyam param prakriti.
Shri Krishna says, I have one parashakti and I have an aparashakti. He's not talking about his personal power here. He's being silent about that, he refers to Jeev Shakti as his Parashakti. It means higher, better. And Maya Shakti as his Aparashakti. It means lower. So he's referring to this fact that souls are alive. They are Chetan and Maya is just a lifeless power. So souls are called his Parashakti in comparison to Maya, which is his Aparashakti. Maya being a power of God is a real thing. It is not an illusion. Our Vedas say, Mayam tu prakritim vidyan mayinan tu maheshwaram. God is the owner of Maya Shakti. Through Maya, God creates this whole universe. Shaktitvan nanritam vedyam, Shandilya Maharshi says, this Maya is a power of God, so it is real. It's a real tattva, a real existence, not an imagination of anyone's mind. This world really exists. If it was just our imagination, we wouldn't have to eat or sleep or drink or take medicine or do any of it. We wouldn't even have to breathe. If none of these things were real, we wouldn't need them. We could just imagine them. Oh, I'm hungry. I'll just imagine eating something. I'm thirsty. I'll imagine drinking something. When the fact is, even a jnani paramahans, a jivan mukt jnani paramahans, as long as he's living on this earth planet and he has a physical body, he has to breathe air. The same air we breathe, not imaginary. Where is he living? In this akash, in this space. We're also in the same space, not imaginary. He eats food just like we eat. He walks on the same earth we walk on, not imaginary. So this world is real. And it is produced by Maya Shakti, which is the power of God. The second half of this doha says, Jiva Maya Shasak Brahma Batade. Shasak means the controller, the ruler, the governor. Brahma is the Shasak of both Jiv and Maya. So souls are not some independent power existing separate from God. And Maya is not some independent power apart from God. Both these powers exist dependent on God. This is why God is supreme. Charam pradhanam amritak charam hara charatmana vishate deva ekaha. Shvetashvatra Upanishad says, ishate deva ekaha. There's one supreme God and he is Ish, means Shasak, of Charam and Akcharam. Char means that which deteriorates. This is the Mayic world. Everything in this world has a lifespan. It deteriorates and finishes. So Maya is referred to by this term Char. And souls are called Akchar because a soul can never go through any change at all. Your actual pure divine soul is unchangeable. It can be here under the bondage of Maya or in the divine world with God, that can change, but the soul itself remains the same. So God is the Ish of both Char and Akchar. It means he is the Shasak of both Maya and Brahma. He gives life to the souls. Chetanash Chetananam. Ved says, just like our soul gives life to our body, God gives life to our soul. He is the soul of our soul. He's the life of our life. So we could not do anything unless God were giving us that power. He resides in the heart of every soul, and not only does he continue to give life to that soul. But he keeps track of everything the soul is doing currently in this life, plus he keeps the record of all the karmas from our uncountable past lifetimes, plus he's giving us the result of those karmas from our past life in this life. So God is doing all of that for every soul, yet he's not controlling our actions of this life. So when we say he is our shasak, it means we could not exist without him. We are not completely independent from God because he's the one giving life to us. But he's not controlling our actions. He gives us free will. Having given us life, he gives us free will to do whatever we decide. He guides us through the scriptures and the saints, but he doesn't interfere in what we do. So him being our shasak means we are fully dependent on him for our ability to be alive, aware, to perform karma, but it does not mean that he's controlling our actions. We exist inside of him, and he exists inside of us. Ya atmani tishthati. All the souls are within God, and he is within all of us. Sarva bhuteshu gurha. Ved says he's inside every soul. This whole mayic world also cannot exist without God. Mayadhyakchena prakritihi suyate sacharacharam hetunanena kaunteya. Gita says, he is the adhyaksha of maya. He's in control of maya. He's the one who activates maya. Because how could maya on its own expand or evolve from a subtle, absolute nothingness yet existing? That's how maya is in its dormant phase. It's there, but it's like an absolutely dormant existence. So without a mind, how could maya just decide to activate itself so that it expands into the form of this physical universe? It's impossible. God activates it. So he's called Mayadhyaksh or Mayadhish. And having activated maya, he enters into it. So he's omnipresent in every particle of this universe. Sarvabhyapi, Ved says. There's not a single particle or place in this world where God is not. He pervades everything. And sarva lokadhi vasah, Ved says, everything exists within him. So he is upholding the existence of this universe. It could not exist without him. He's upholding the existence of the souls. So nothing could exist without God. And this is why, at places in our scriptures, it is said, sarvam khalvidam brahma, Ved. There is nothing that exists except God. Because you can't find even a part in your own soul where God is not there. You can't find anywhere in this world where God is not there. So you can't find anywhere which is not God. Ekameva dvitiyam brahma neha na nasti kinchan. There's only one single supreme God and nothing else which exists, Ved says. Vasudeva sarvamiti, Gita. There is nothing which exists except for Vasudev Krishna. That's from this point of view that nothing could exist without him. And nothing exists apart from him. Yet, we do have our independent existence as well. Not apart from God, we're dependent on God. Yet we have our free will, and we are individual beings. So we are not God, God is not us from that point of view. So that's why sometimes Ved says there's only one existence, God. Sometimes Ved says there's three existences, God, the souls, and maya. And sometimes because maya is lifeless, Ved says, dva suparna sayuja sakhaya. there's two existences, God and the souls, because Maya is just jar, so it's quiet about Maya. But actually, there are three eternal tattva, and that is what Sri Maharaji has explained so far, that God, the souls, and Maya are three eternally existing tattva, and he's also explained the relationship between them, that God is supreme, and the souls and Maya are his powers, which exist within him and dependent on him, but at the same time, they are not him. Souls have their own identity. And Maya is a lifeless power, so it cannot be said to be God. God is not lifeless, so Maya is also considered a separate tattva from that point of view. So we'll sing further ahead now.
Brahma Shakti Maya Jada Govinda Radhe Jiva Maya Shasak Brahma Bata De
Brahma Shakti Maya Jada Govinda Radhe Jiva Maya Shasak Brahma Bata
Jiva Maya Shasak Brahma Bata De
Jiva Maya Shasak Brahma Bata De
Sarva Shakti Swamini Govinda Radhe Ek Shakti Para Antaranga Bata De
Sarva Shakti Swamini
Now we come to his third power. Ved says God has uncountable powers. Satyam jnanam anantam brahma. Everything about God is unlimited. Tasya shaktayastvanekadha. He has unlimited divine powers. But out of all of those, three are main. Vishnu Shakti Paraprokta Kshetragya Khya Tatha Para Avidya Karma Sangyanya Tritiya Shakti Rishyate. Vishnu Purana says that Supreme God has three main powers, here referred to with the words para, apara, and avidya. Here, para shakti is not referring to souls. See, the terminology of our scriptures has to be taken in the context. In the previous verse from the Gita, para shakti was referring to the souls, and apara was referring to maya. Here in this verse, para is referring to God's personal power, swarup shakti. And apara is referring to the souls, and avidya karma sangyanya, that is referring to maya. So, just like in the first verse, Sri Maharaji described that there are three eternal tattva, now we're explaining it from this point of view, that there are three main powers of God. We discussed the souls, we discussed maya, And here, we're talking about God's personal power. Chaitanya Mahaprabhuji says, Krishnera ananta shakti tate tin pradhan. Chit shakti, jeev shakti, maya shakti nam. Antaranga, tatastha, bahiranga, kahijare. Antaranga, swarupa shakti, savar upare. Although Supreme God Shri Krishna has uncountable powers, yet out of those three are pradhan, three are prominent. He refers to them as chit shakti, jeev shakti, and maya. So this personal power of God actually is referred to by quite a few different names in our scriptures. Chit shakti means God's personal power. Swarup shakti means the same thing, God's personal power. Yoga maya shakti, same thing, different word for the same thing. In this verse, both Sri Maharaji and the verse I quoted from Mahaprabhuji both call that personal power of God antaranga. And maya is called bahiranga, and the souls are called tatastha. Antaranga means internal. Bahiranga means external, and tatastha means marginal or in between, like if you're on the bank of the river. So the forest is here, the river is here, you're on the bank. You're not in the river, you're not in the forest, you're on the bank in between. So swarup shakti of God is called his antaranga shakti because you can say this is the power that makes God, God. Kartum akartum anyatha kartum samartha. What is this yogamaya shakti like? With this power, God can do anything. Aghatit ghatana patiyasi. This power makes all the impossibles possible. Whatever you can imagine, God can do it. Whatever you can't imagine, God can do that. Whatever you believe to be impossible, God can do that. God does all of his work through this antaranga shakti. How is God omnipresent in the universe? Through his personal power, antaranga shakti. How is he simultaneously omnipresent in all of his forms? As Krishna, Radha, Ram, Sita, Vishnu, Lakshmi, Shiva, Durga, formless. In all of his forms, he's simultaneously omnipresent through his Yogamaya Shakti, also called Swarup Shakti, also called Parashakti, also called Chit Shakti. These all refer to his personal power. How could he still be omnipresent in the universe, yet descend not only on this earth planet, but on uncountable earth planets simultaneously through his personal power? How can he be doing all of that and still keep track of every thought, every moment of every single soul existing in the whole universe through his personal power? How can he do all of that and still remain perfectly blissful all the time through his personal power? This is his swarup shakti. Through this power, God is all-powerful, all-knowing, and all-blissful all the time. So this is his personal power. Maya is his external power because Maya is lifeless. Very simple. And because Maya cannot stand in front of God. Bilajyamanaya tasya. Veda Vyasji says, Maya cannot come in front of God. If God is there, Maya is gone. Like if the sun is shining, where's the darkness? It's gone. Only if the sun is gone, darkness can be there. So for that reason as well, Maya is called his Bahiranga Shakti, his external power. And souls, well, they're not Jada, so they don't belong to Maya. You can't say they're Bahiranga Shakti. But we're not all-powerful, all-knowing, all-blissful, omnipresent like God, so we can't be part of His antaranga shakti. So we're neither there nor here. We're not in the water, we're not in the forest, we're on the bank. We're His tatastha shakti. This is the very definition of who we are. This is our identity. We are ansh of God's jiva shakti, which is His marginal power, His tatastha shakti. And He also has an external potency, maya, and His internal potency, swarup shakti. So this swarup shakti, Sri Maharaji says, sarva shakti swamini. This is the supreme power that lords over all the other powers. Swarup shakti is the main, most important power of God. Sarva shakti swamini govindradhe ek shakti para antaranga bata de
sarva shakti
shakti para antaranga bata de
ek shakti para antaranga bata de
brahma vigya sukh kand Govind Radhe Jiva Agya Maya Dhina Sadate Batade
Brahma Vigya Sukh Kand
This Doha describes more about God and the relationship that souls have to God and to Maya. Brahma is Vigya and Sukha Kanda. Vigya means He is all knowledgeable. Satyam Jnana Mayantam Brahma. He is Jnanamay. He is Sarvagya. Sarvagya. Sarvavidyasya Jnanamayantapah. Ved says, He is all-knowing. There is nothing God doesn't know. If a speck of dust moves in this universe, God knows. If anyone anywhere thinks anything, God knows. He is Sarvagya and He is Jnanamay. He is the form of divine knowledge. And He is Sukha Kand. Sukh, happiness. Divine happiness. Also referred to as Anand. Anando Brahmeti Vyajanat. Ved says, what is God? He is Anand. So in some places Ved says, He is knowledge. In another place, He is happiness. This is a definition of God from our scriptures. He is Sat Chit Anand. Sat, eternally existing. Anadi Anand. Chit, He is perfect knowledge, all-knowing. He has divine mind. And Anand, He is Sukha Kand. So not only is He Anandamay, Anandamaya means, like, I have a cup here. It was empty. I filled it with water. So Anandamaya would mean we filled God with bliss. We filled God with Anand. He's a container, and we put some Anand in him. So he became Anandamaya. Ved says no. Raso vai saha. He is Ras. He is Anand. Just like you can say, or we do say, there's water in the ocean. So does that mean the ocean is just a dry, empty container that you put water in? So the ocean is one thing and now there's water in the ocean. No, it doesn't make sense. The very definition of the ocean means a huge reservoir of water. We call that the ocean. So you can't say there's water in the ocean. The ocean itself is water. For the same reason, you can't say there's happiness in God. Although we say that for explanation's sake, for communicating something. But there's not Anand in God. He himself is Anand. Kripaluji Maharaj gives an example just like a rasgulla. First you have a gulla, you have a dry ball of milk solids and you soak it in the ras, then it becomes a rasgulla. So God is not like that, that you have to add the ras to him. He himself is the ras. So he is Sukha Kand. He is the absolute origin of divine happiness. And that happiness is Sat and Chit. It means God's divine happiness is everlasting, perfect, ever increasing, and unlimited in every way, unlimited in amount and in its existence, meaning it never ends. It never stops. So God is perfect in every way. He is unlimited divine knowledge and unlimited divine happiness. And we, the souls who are Chetan, just like him, and we are belonging to, we are ansh of his Jiva Shakti, yet, since eternity, Sadate, we are Mayadheen. So in the last verse we saw, God is Mayadhish. He's the controller of Maya. We are Mayadheen. In this verse, Sri Maharaji says, souls are Agya and Mayadheen. Since when? Sadate. Since forever. Agya means the opposite of Vigya. Ved says, Gya gyau dvavaja vishanisha vaja yeka bhoktri bhogyartha yukta anantaschatma vishvarupo hyakarta trayam yada vindate brahma metat. Again from Shvetashvatra Upanishad, referring to the three eternal tattva. One, Ved says, is Gya, meaning all-knowing God. And another is Agya, the souls. Agya means ignorant, or very little knowing, Alpagya. And the other is the Jada Shakti, Maya. So God is Gya, and we're Agya. God is Ish, this verse says, and we are Anish. We're practically powerless, whereas God is all-powerful. He is omnipresent, and we're spot-existent. He is Vibhu, we are Anu. Anu Pramanat, Brahma Sutra. Anu means infinitesimally small, infinitely small, and spot-existent, whereas God is infinitely big and pervades everything. He's omnipresent. But both are chit. Chit meaning alive. He's vibhu chit, we're anu chit. So someone might wonder, if we are chetan shakti, and compared to maya, in Gita, we're parashakti, and maya is aparashakti. Then why are we maya dheen? Why are we under the bondage of Maya? If we're Chetan, we're alive, conscious beings, and Maya is just a lifeless energy, why are we under the bondage of Maya? It doesn't seem to make sense. So Sri Maharaji has given us the answer here, and also in much more detail in his writings and other speeches. He says that God is like the sun, and Maya is like darkness. So of course, where the sun is, there can't be darkness. Where God is, where Vibhuchit is, there can be no Maya. But where Anuchit is, Maya can have havi. Maya can have influence over the soul, because the soul is like a candle compared to God, who's like the sun. So light a candle in the night, it's still night. The darkness didn't go away. Light a million candles, light a billion candles, set the hill on fire. The night will still remain. So we are just individual candles, individual souls. So as long as we are turned away from God, Maya will have control over us. We will remain Maya-dheen. As soon as a soul surrenders to God, now Maya's gone for that soul. Maya's not an illusion, so it doesn't cease to exist. But the effect of Maya is finished on that soul. Maya can no longer affect that soul once he turns towards God. Bhayam dvitiya bhinivesatah sya dishadapetasya viparyayo smriti bhagavatam. Vedavyasji says, we are turned away from God. That's why Maya has control over us. And because we are Anu, so our Anuchit, our little candle flame, is not enough to keep Maya away. We're turned towards Maya and we have our back towards God, so Maya has control over us. And when did that happen? It never happened. Maharaji says, Sadate. We have always been under the bondage of Maya. It never happened. Had we ever been free from Maya, Maya could never get control over us. Because sada pashyanti surayah tad vishno paramam padam. Once a soul attains God, Ved says that's forever. Sada ke liye. Once a soul is with God, Maya can never influence that soul. So had we ever been with God, how could we have come under the bondage of Maya today? It's not possible. So if we're under the bondage of Maya today, it means we have been since eternity. So we never became agya. We never became mayadhish. This bondage is natural and eternal. It's not an enforced bondage. That one day God said, okay, now you go under the effect of Maya. No, it never happened. We've always been turned away from God and thus under the control of Maya. So this is as far as we're going to get today. In these first five dohas, Sri Maharaji has given us a base to understand these three eternal tattva. And from here we'll go on further tomorrow and understand more about God and understand that Sri Krishna is the supreme form of God in whom all forms of God reside, thus making Krishna the supreme goal of our life.